Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. Two people are dead after their small plane crashed into a Central California medical facility Thursday night. The single-engine Mooney plane nosedived into a medical center parking lot just after takeoff from a Watsonville airport. The plane then skidded into an unoccupied medical office building and burst into flames. No one on the ground was hurt. Thunderstorms drenched parts of southwestern California yesterday, dumping over an inch of rain within just an hour in Joshua Tree and in the desert east of Borrego Springs. Flash flood watches were issued for some southern mountain regions and desert valleys. The Weather Service says more rain is on the way today. California lawmakers are considering a bill that would ban the death penalty in California. The measure passed its first legislative hurdle Thursday when the Assembly Public Safety Committee voted 5-2 to approve it. KPCC's Julie Small reports.
Senate Bill 490 would place an initiative on the November 2012 ballot that would ban the death penalty. It would also convert existing death penalty sentences to life without parole. Berkeley State Senator Lonnie Hancock says capital punishment turned out to be a costly and broken system.
Since 1978, when voters approved the death penalty, only 13 people in California have been executed. 13 in 33 years.
A recent study found California spent $4 billion on those 13 executions. Former San Quentin warden Jeannie Woodford oversaw four of them.
After each execution, someone on my staff would ask, "Is the world safer because we did our jobs tonight?" We all knew the answer was no.
Woodford, who heads the anti-death penalty group Death Penalty Focus, told lawmakers California would be safer spending money on more cops and crime labs. But Don Kepke with Victims United says tell that to the families whose loved ones were murdered.
How do we go to them and say that although you thought you received justice, the court provided a sentence to you that was just for the crime that was committed against you and your family? Sorry, we're going to take that away now.
The California District Attorneys Association also opposes the bill. Legislative Director Corey Salzillo questions the legality of replacing death penalty sentences. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in Sacramento.
The budget saga in Sacramento may be over for the year, but the state's financial uncertainties are not. One thing that's still up in the air is the possibility that the state could be pulling in less money from Indian gaming. A recent court ruling calls into question whether tribes can be required to share money with the state in exchange for operating a casino. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Of all the dangers that legislators know about the state's budget again going into the red, it's doubtful few, if any, have considered the one posed by Indian gaming tribes. Tribes like the Pala Band of Mission Indians near San Diego.
I think we need to go and reevaluate our situation and reassess it.
Robert Smith is the chairman of the Pala tribe, and the situation he thinks needs another look is the $18 million check Pala sends every year to the state's general fund. 15 California tribes send a share of their casino profits to Sacramento to help fund state government. Those payments are a political legacy of the former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The casinos make billions, yet pay no taxes and virtually nothing to the state.
That 2003 campaign commercial glossed over some of the complexity involved in Indian gaming. California tribal profits were being shared in 2003, but only to help non-gambling tribes and help mitigate local impacts of casinos. But Schwarzenegger insisted on money for the state when tribes came to him seeking a new gaming agreement as required by federal law. One tribe, the Rincon Band of Luceño Indians near San Diego, said that demand was effectively an illegal tax on a sovereign Indian nation. When Rincon sued and won, the state appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Last week, the High Court refused to intervene. Now, says Pala Chairman Robert Smith, his tribe's 2004 profit-sharing agreement doesn't look so good.
Well, we did it then. We had a pretty good deal, I thought, for the tribe, but now since the Rincon case has been upheld by the federal district court, I think we need to go and reevaluate our situation.
Other tribes appear to be thinking the same thing. The tribe that owns one of California's most successful casinos, Thunder Valley, outside of Sacramento, is also having second thoughts about those payments, according to the tribe's attorney. The money from these tribes and others is not insignificant. Last year, tribal casino revenue sharing accounted for more than $363 million to the state's general fund. That pales in comparison to other revenues, but it's much larger than many of the difficult cuts made in state programs this year. The method by which the state got those revenues, a method now deemed illegal, could be a problem, says Dennis Whittlesey, an attorney who specializes in Indian gaming law.
California, with Schwarzenegger, really did walk into the woods, if you will, and demanding these large payments.
And Whittlesey thinks the court ruling may put the tribes, not the state, in the driver's seat.
They could simply refuse to honor those payment provisions and dare the state to try to come in and seek compensation.
But that's not a view shared by Governor Jerry Brown's administration.
Our view is that the agreements we have in place are perfectly valid.
Jacob Applesmith is Governor Brown's tribal negotiator. He says Brown is willing to discuss renegotiating those gambling agreements, but until then, the state expects to keep getting the money. And the budget the governor signed last week banks on those dollars. Still, Applesmith admits that Governor Brown does not see future Indian gaming agreements as including money for the state.
Our focus will be on trying to gain revenues for local communities that are impacted by gaming activities.
That change in focus is the best sign yet that an era has ended for Indian gaming in California, an era where state government hit a lucky streak at the tables, but a lucky streak that's now come to an end. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
And that's the California Report for Friday, July 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Paul Lancour. Molly Samuel and Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Julia Bernstein, Nicholas Carpenter, Bridget Bodner, and Jefferson Beavers. The editor this week is Kat Snow. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn. Pat Flynn edited our series Republic of Cannabis. Victoria Malion is our producer. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker, and the news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.